Blog Talk Radio.
And Mark DeWorth here. It is May 6th, the day after the Cinco de Mayo, and spring is finally here in Ohio. Hey, that rhymes. That was good. Hey, Mark, how are you doing?
Good. How are you, Sharon?
I'm good. My arm is slowly healing. It's been 4 weeks now, but I have to say that I don't think I'm going to be ready for the golf outing that we planned for the Friday before the conference. And on another sad note, William Dran Guinness will not be in attendance. So that's
I know
people
that.
Not golfing. Yeah.
William's all bummed about it.
I know he has to be. He's been coming every year forever.
Well, you know what? I mean, you know, there's things in his life going on and stuff like that. So he had to, you know, he had to make a decision, and because of certain things, he wasn't able to make it. And believe me, he called me up and. You know, we talked for a while, and you know what? Like I say, he'll be back next year. There's no doubt about it. And sometimes things happen in life where you just can't make it.
Right. Hopefully my arm will be better by next year. Then we will actually golf. But on a good note, let me tell you something good.
Oh.
I just got a surprise announcement. I don't know if you know this yet. But the fabulous cooking duo of Jen and Jay Kirschenman will be in attendance.
Woo!
Isn't that exciting?
That is absolutely awesome. I mean, Jennifer and Jay are like world-class cooks that are do things for a living that are totally the opposite. And, you know, just to have them in attendance alone is just mind-boggling. I mean, I just can't imagine.
I know.
What
we're going to be eating. They better cook. They better cook for us. And, they better be able to cook for 50 people. That's what I got to say.
Well, you know, that's awesome news because Jennifer and Jay are good friends, and I really like them, and I haven't seen them enough for a while, so I'm looking forward to seeing the two of them, and that's just fantastic news. So, I mean, I could slot them in Bob Gimlin's slot when he speaks and just have them do a cooking show instead.
And Chester's coming too, the puppy.
Oh, yippee-yay.
Yippee-ki-yay-yay. So anyway,
yeah.
So we're here to talk about the Ohio Bigfoot Conference, and you have the schedule of events, which everyone is excited to listen to and hear about.
Yeah, I figured it'd be a good time. I did email it out. I will throw it up on the Facebook page tomorrow. You know, the schedule of events for the event was on Friday, May 15th, people that want to go on the advanced hike will meet at the upper level center main parking lot at Salt Fork State Park Lodge at 11 a.m. for 11:30 a.m. sharp departure. Please dress accordingly. Please bring water. Please bring a small snack. I always tell people bring extra socks just in case, and be ready to go into some real rugged areas, you know, within about 30, 40 minutes of Salt Fork that you'll be very impressed with. Then, of course, when mm-hmm. later that day at 5 o'clock, we have the VIP speaker dinner, which is at Theo's Restaurant. That's located at 632 Wheeling Avenue, Cambridge, Ohio. You must be a registered VIP attendee to attend this private function. There are some overflow people that will be attending because as long as we have room, we will obviously let you get in. It's you pay at the door to get in. It's on the upper level of Theo's. So when you go into the restaurant, you go up the stairs instead of in the restaurant, and then you'll pay. It's $15 for adults, $12 for kids. That includes your dinner, your dessert, your drinks, and everything. Obviously, non-alcohol drinks, but tip and all. So you can't go wrong there. And then at 6:30 that night, we're going to have a dinner presentation by Mr. Lauren Coleman of the International Cryptozoology Museum, and which is going to be followed up by a special surprise guest in attendance that night. I won't relinquish that, but let's just say I just got word that this person will be in attendance. And then after that, we'll get back to the lodge by no later than 8 o'clock. VIP early registration pickup will be on the upper level, all the way up at the top, at 8:30 p.m. to 9:30 p.m. You can pick up all your packets and all your goodies and get your ID badges and the whole nine yards. And then at 9:30, we're going to have the world premiere of the new and highly anticipated Bigfoot movie, Something in the Woods. Matter of fact, Michael Hall, who's the one involved with all the movies, will be on this show tonight. And then Saturday, May 16th, vendor setup, 9 a.m. to 10 a.m. Please, people, I want you to understand, the vendors need to be able to set up. Last year when people were trying to set up, people were trying to buy from them. So let's give them this respect and keep that area closed till 10 a.m. Vendor room will open at 10, and also all remaining VIPs that didn't pick up their packets can pick them up, and then any overflow tickets, purchasers can show up, or people just buying overflow tickets. We'll have about 100 or so overflow tickets available to be sold the day of the event. So if you want to see all the speakers, it's $10. Come on in and have a good time. Basically the event begins at 1 o'clock. I'm just going to go real quickly. Speakers will be Mr. John Kirk, lead off. Dr. David Floyd will be second. Jim Sherman. Then there'll be a dinner break from 5 to 6:30. Then we're going to do a Bigfoot panel forum at 6:30, which there's going to be some very well-known people on the forum. And also witnesses are willing to come forward and talk, too. And then we're going to finish up at 7:30 with Mr. Bob Gimlin. And then at the end of then later that evening at 9:30, once again, another world premiere, the Minerva Monster documentary by Small Town Monsters. That's Seth Breedlove, Alan McGargo, and Jesse Morgan, and Mark Maskey. And I'm very much looking forward to the Minerva Monster documentary. That's an incredible story. And it's going to be, well worth the hour of your time. Also, both movies and documentaries will be finished up with a Q&A afterwards and things like that. And then on Sunday, hosted by our friends at the United States Bigfoot Research Association at 10:30 a.m. over at the Handicapped Picnic Area, which is Road 27 in Salt Fork State Park. It's 5-6 minutes from the lodge at best. We're going to have a cookout. We're going to have a how-to clinics with all different types of how to set up a game camera, how to record audio recording, plaster cast making, evidence kits, how to prepare, things like that. So we're going to have all sorts of family-friendly things, including, backed by popular demand, chainsaw extraordinaire Snuffy DeStefano will be carving chainsaw creations live. And then, then at 1:30, there's going to be a family-friendly Bigfoot hike. This is going to be led by Alan and Jesse from Fathom Frontiers and Grassman Gear, and it's for all ages, all skills. It's going to be a very easy trail, but it's going to be get people out in Ohio's woods and be able to talk Bigfoot, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. And that's going to sum it up. We have a very fun-filled, packed, plenty of to-do weekend, and we look forward to seeing you all there.
I know. It's so funny that, when we arrive Thursday evening and by the time Sunday comes, it feels like it was a blink of an eye. It's so packed with so much stuff to do. And by the time it's over, it's just like, oh, my gosh, it's over already? Can we stay another day?
You may feel like that. I just know this by Tuesday night or even Wednesday, I'm just like, thank God. I enjoy very much, but I mean, I'm more like management, I guess. I take that approach, and I just try to make sure everything runs smooth and things like that.
Yeah, that's awesome. Yeah, it's good. And then the following month, we have Bigfoot Adventure Weekends. We're already booked to capacity. I mean, we could probably squeeze in a few more people, just maybe one more tent full of people, and that's BigfootAdventureWeekends.com. Go to the registration page.
What's the date again, Sharon?
It's Father's Day weekend. I can't remember right now, June 16th through the 19th, I believe.
Okay.
It's that weekend. It's Father's Day weekend.
Okay,
yeah,
well,
that's
going to
be a lot
time.
Of fun. We have so many people returning. So many people returning. They had so much fun. And I'm talking about this is like our fourth year in a row, and people just keep coming back. And they just love it so much. And it's you know, and then it's just like going to adult camp. You get to make friends with everybody and lifelong friends, and you hang out with them. They get all their meals. They get all the, you know, the education and the tours. The movie, we're going to be showing the movie Exists on Friday night at the amphitheater, the outdoor amphitheater. Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. I can't wait.
Well, and you know, what I really like is the term all-inclusive. I mean, it really, that's the one thing I love to come to the event is that when I go there, I just basically, I don't have to bring anything other than a sleeping bag, my cot, and if a tent if I want to, and I'm fine. And, I mean, so to me.
And you usually leave half your stuff behind.
Well, that's because I know I have minions like you there to pick it up, so I'm not too worried. But
right.
No, I'm just kidding. But no, I really enjoy that weekend, and especially with all the kids. I mean, to have all the kids that come from all over with their dads and their moms, and just have so much fun, and just to see them go out in the woods, and I mean, it's special. It really is.
All right. Okay, Mark, we have our first caller of the evening. It is Mr. Lyle Blackburn from Texas. Hey, Lyle, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm doing good.
Lyle, what's going on?
I'm glad you're there.
Hey, not much. What's up, my friend?
Oh, just getting ready for the big weekend. I mean, you were here last year, and what do you recount of it? I mean, what do you remember, if anything?
Well, other than I wouldn't want your job to organize it, other than that, it's definitely the best Bigfoot conference I've ever been a part of. I mean, it's truly the quintessential location to have it. It's the, the people that come all around, the level of enthusiasm, as well as just the things that are provided for the event. You know, I just really enjoyed it and thought that it was extremely well done. So one of the high points of my Bigfoot circuit, I suppose.
Well, we appreciate that.
Lyle, I haven't talked to you in a while. Are you working on something else right now from your first book?
Well, yes, of course. I'm always got some irons in the various fires. I'm trying to work on another book. I've been doing a lot of research as far as that. I got a little bit sidetracked. I was a story consultant producer for the Monsters and Mysteries in America show last season, so I took that opportunity to work with that. And more recently, I'm working on a chapter of a book that's going to have multiple contributors to it. It's called Woodnock's Journal of Bigfoot Research, and so I'm doing a chapter for that. So that's kind of what I've focused on lately, just to get that done, because I think the release date is going to be somewhere around the fall.
Okay, so I take it, are you not coming to the conference this year?
No. Unfortunately, you know, while I would love to come back, it just didn't work out in the schedule this year or so. But, you know, I think if I could get up there every other year or something, that would be, you know, a reasonable goal.
Well,
as
sure
you release something new.
I'm sure we'll have you come back sometime in the future, Lyle. I mean, your presentation is very well received, and I've heard nothing but kudos for everything that you do and everything that you're involved with. And obviously a lot of people look up to you. So, I mean, those are the kind of speakers that we like to bring into the event. Like I say, your book of work is just exceptional.
Oh, well, I appreciate that. Yeah, definitely. It was a pleasure to be able to speak at the event, and that's one of the high points as well that kind of trickles on after the event. You know, you've, you know, the when my presentation was well received. You know, I got a lot of great feedback and you know, new folks coming aboard that hadn't read my books previously, and, you know, the interaction of building new friends through that, you know. So that, you know, that's another plus. But, yeah, I think this year, you know, without having anything new, particularly that I didn't have last time, it wasn't, you know, critical that I was even to just come up and get a table or whatever, because I just, people would just come by and say, what do you got that's new? And they'll say, I already read your book. You know.
Aww. So what about the show that you were working on? What did you learn from that? Was there anything interesting or in that field of TV production?
Well, let's see. What can I say on the air about TV production and keep it? you know, I think we've all delved into a little bit of the realm of cryptozoology television. And, you know, it's you know, full of dangers and so forth. One reason I like Monsters and Mysteries in America particularly is that they do, you know, keep it a high priority to develop real stories with real witnesses, and it's not made up monsters or any of that. It's coming from real life reports, and I always appreciated that about them. And I was on back in season one when they first did a Falcon Monster episode, and so I just kind of built a relationship with them. And so I think they wanted me on board to suggest some new stories and to provide some things that hadn't been done, which was really cool, because we were able to develop and put out some cryptid cases that, you know, no TV has ever really covered in particular. So, but, you know, learning from that experience, you know, of course, you learn that there's a balance between, you know, these people, you know, it's a television show, and, you know, it's also somewhat of a documentary. So, I mean, that's always a line you straddle, and people, you know, in our field debate about those things. But I thought it was a positive thing for me. And of course, I just love these stories and want to expose them to people who are interested, whether it's through my book or whether it's through a television show. So it all kind of fits in the direction I try to go with it, while maintaining as much integrity as possible.
Yeah.
You know, in a situation where you have TV, and there's a lot more cooks in the kitchen, whereas my book, you know, is pretty much me in control. You know, it was a good experience.
So when does that show air, and what channel is it on?
Well, it's on Destination America, but it season three started airing, I think, in January or February, so you know, it's been on, this season has been airing since about then. I think they've completed all the episodes, but I'm not sure. And of course, they just, you know, they perpetually rerun to the end of time, it seems. So, you know, if you just turn on Destination America, the Monsters and Mysteries is pretty much always available.
Yeah, nice.
Well, definitely sounds like you're busy, that's for sure.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that and Lila. How old is Lila now?
She is almost three. So, yeah, I mean, having a new, you know, a toddler in the house is, you know, another thing on top of, because she was born about 2 or 3 months after my Beast of Boggy Creek came out. And that was kind of life really changed for me, because prior to that I was a musician and, you know, interested in Bigfoot and followed, you know, Red and followed all that stuff, but I wasn't, you know, writing books or anything. So when all that happened all at once, you know, it was sort of a change in life. And you know, I was trying to kind of get off the road and not do the music thing as much. So that really worked out and made me able to stay home a little bit more. So it's, you know, it's all been a good thing.
Are you still touring, playing with Ghoultown?
We took quite a bit of time off. I was going to take a little time off and just write the first book, but since the response was so good, and all of a sudden, I'm on TV and all this other stuff, I just kind of rolled with it, and that kind of delayed it. But we're actually, this year is something we're trying to record a new album, which was previously written already, so it just kind of has been delayed. So I'm actually trying to appease the Ghoultown fans by getting this thing recorded and getting that out. So it's a lot of stuff to juggle, but it's rewarding because there's fans on all sides that appreciate the work. So it makes it worth the effort.
Yeah, I saw your band perform a couple times, and it was just amazing. You were always a rock star before you became an author, and I'll remember you that way. Henry, I think Henry is here. I think he might have a question for you. Hi, Henry.
Hey, Sharon. How you doing?
Good. How are you? Did you have a question for Lyle?
I'm doing good. Well, I actually wanted to talk to John when he comes on, too, and maybe Charlie.
John. Okay, well, they're not on yet. I'm waiting for them to call in. Charlie's coming up next, and I'm just going to, if you don't have anything to say to Lyle, I'm going to mute you, because last week it got crazy up in
the I'll let you know in the chat room, whenever I get ready, whenever I'm ready.
Okay, all right, Henry, hang in there. Good old Henry, always good for a phone call.
You need people like Henry, because Henry's such a big supporter of the Bigfoot and cryptid community, and you know what, he gets the word out, and he definitely supports all the events and things like that. But I think it's pretty awesome, Lyle, some of the things you were saying, especially having your first child and things like that, and what the responsibilities and how everything changes in life. And, trust me, I've seen it firsthand. But you know what? Those ages when they're little, those are the years. I mean, you want to remember all of that. Trust me.
Oh, sure. And it's been fun to, kind of expose her to, all the cool things that I'm interested in. I don't try to steer her any one direction, but she definitely is interested in the outdoors, in quote unquote monsters, spooky things. She loves Scooby Doo, so she's familiar with Bigfoot. I think one of her first five words, one of those was Bigfoot. She sees it all over the house, and it's fun to see the innocence of, like Mark was saying a minute ago about the kids, and it's something that kind of keeps the spark going with that, with new kids coming aboard that are just discovering these mysteries and, it's a great thing to get kids out in the woods. So of course, I've taken her camping, already, and she can identify animal tracks. We took her on a night hike once, after dark and late early evening, but I mean, we're out there with only headlamps walking through this, kind of spooky forest. And she didn't blink an eye. She was just coming all along. I did kind of a Bigfoot howl, and then she did one of her own without prompting. I was like, okay, she's going to follow in the footsteps,
Shoot.
I think.
Aww.
Really,
she's so adorable.
Well, that's awesome, but it's awesome that you took the time to call in, Lyle. We greatly appreciate it.
Well, no problem. Anything for you, man. I really enjoyed the conference, and you took great care of me and just enjoyed meeting all the folks up there. So it's a pleasure to you know, to revisit that and talk about it. And I, you know, definitely hope you have a great event this year, and I look forward to getting up there next year in some capacity or another.
Awesome.
Yeah, that would be awesome. Yeah, and I'm sure Lila doesn't remember me, but give her a hug for me and tell Sandy I said hi. One of our listeners, Brian Impey, wanted to talk about Ghoultown, but we already kind of covered that, I believe, right?
Yeah, I'm sure we
covered Ghoultown.
Yeah. Oh, well, I'll add one note to that, and I've shared this with a few people, but being in a band, of course, I get a lot of folks suggesting that perhaps we do, you know, a Bigfoot-themed album or a song or something like this. Now, while I try to keep the two separate, I mean, Ghoultown's got its own thing, and it's not necessarily Bigfoot. However, I have written a song called The Legend of Boggy Creek. So when we do this album, there's going to be something definitely that people who are interested in my Bigfoot work can sort of bridge the gap. So and it's a good song, so I'm kind of excited about that, you know, on this new album.
Good. Awesome. When you get that on an MP3, make sure you get it to me and I'll play it. I'll promote it for you.
Oh, definitely.
All right,
Lyle. It'll be fun.
Yeah, it's
all right.
I look forward to hearing it. Well, I'm going to let you go get back to your wife and your little beautiful daughter, Lila. And thank you so much for calling in. And hopefully we'll see you next year at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference.
Definitely. Great to talk to you.
Thanks, Lyle.
All right,
bye-bye,
Lyle.
Take care, man.
Bye.
All right. Oh, we're just rolling right along here. It's not a mess like it was last week. We have Charlie Raymond on the line. Hey, Charlie, how are you doing?
Hey, guys.
Whoa. I'm glad you're
hey,
there.
Charlie,
you scared me for a second.
Charlie, how's the sock drawer doing?
Oh, yeah. Usually Wednesdays I have to rearrange my sock drawer. But I put it on hold for you guys, and I figured I'd call in the OU1.
Oh, my gosh.
Well,
thank you.
Well, I know that's tough. I mean, I hate when my socks aren't organized, too, so I can fully understand that completely. So what's been going on with you? I mean, I see you've been real active in the field as always, and it seems like a lot of cool things are coming out of Kentucky once again.
Yeah, we just had the BFRO expedition about two or three weeks ago, and we had just amazing activity, like always. And I'm so thrilled when, you know, people come into Kentucky and get to see some of the evidence firsthand. It, you know, especially newbies, too, like people who've never experienced something in the woods, and they just get all freaked out when stuff happens, and they instantly become believers. I love that.
Well, that doesn't surprise me. Doesn't surprise me at all, but yeah, I mean, you know, Kentucky, I will say this, I don't know what it is with the Squatches across the Ohio River down there. They seem to be meaner than the Ohio ones, more angrier than the Ohio ones. What's the deal with that? Is that just reputation, or is there a lot of historical Kentucky encounters that have led to some violence, or where there is some interaction where it seems to be the creature or the Bigfoot's acting, you know, quite aggressive?
Actually, it's mostly bluff charges and that sort of thing, trees being pushed over, growls. We had, at the BFRO expedition two, three weeks ago, we had some growls, and then we went down there to the tree line. One of our researchers made a growl, and right after he made the growl, a huge tree was pushed over directly in front of us, and I mean, it was amazing. But that's, you know, that's what happens if you start to push the envelope a little too much. You kind of know when to leave. But historically, I mean, I've been doing it for 20 years in Kentucky. I've never taken an attack on a person where someone was hurt. Everyone's been a bluff charge or just to get you out of the area, but they never really have hurt people in Kentucky.
So more the killdeer effect, where they're basically herding the humans out of their area.
Yeah.
By distracting us with pushing trees, shaking trees, making noises, things like that. And they just shoo us out, basically.
Right. And I've had a few people. I had a sheriff, when he was younger, he was chased down off this ridge, him, his mother, and cousins, and the Squatch was right behind him. And the mother said, I don't know why it never attacked us. It just was running right behind us. It could have grabbed us. I said, well, it didn't want to. I mean, it just wanted you out of its area. That's all it wanted.
Yeah, I mean, typical things that we've had in Ohio have been where people have been running out of the woods. This would be in the daytime. The Bigfoot would be chasing them, and they would slip and fall. They'd turn around and look. The Bigfoot would be standing there waiting for them to get up. Let them get up. Let them continue. Then continue following them out. And, you know, so, I mean, that's quite typical. I mean, so, you know, that's you know, just the way it is. So let me ask you this, Charlie. Did you have a good time last year at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference?
Oh, yeah, man. I mean, I was blown away, honestly. When I first heard that you were putting this on, I thought, it's probably not going to be that good. It's Mark, you know.
That's what my wife said.
Yeah. It's always better, right, when it actually takes place. All the build-up. But actually, I was astonished by all the researchers and just amazing people, the kindness. People sharing information and T-shirts. I mean, it was kind of cool to see how people traded T-shirts. Like, you know, they do in soccer after a game, they take off their jerseys and you switch jerseys. All the researchers were switching, you know, Bigfoot T-shirts. It was kind of neat. You know, I thought it was very well run, organized. The guest speakers were amazing. Although I didn't appreciate you putting me after Cliff, first you had Lyle open up, you know, open. Then you had Cliff, and then me. I'm like, I'm nobody compared to those two. I should have been like the opening act, you know.
Well, you know, the whole idea was to get the audience warm, because I thought that chicken wire that I had installed, I was hoping I was going to be able to use it. So I figured if I put you third and you didn't, you fell apart, you know, then the beer bottle start getting thrown, then you get to pull the switch and we can see if it worked. But
right.
I guess it never got to that, though, so.
Well, maybe you were just hoping everybody was asleep or drunk or something. I was really impressed. Honestly, it was the biggest thing I've ever been to. The vendors, all the Bigfoot merchandise was amazing. I mean, if you're a Bigfoot enthusiast, I highly encourage you to go to the conference, because you could pick up some great merchandise. All the vendors and all the researchers take the time to sit with you. I mean, Bob Gimlin sat there and talked to everybody, which at his age blew me away how much patience he had with all the guests. I mean, it was just amazing.
Yeah,
the vendors is that you have to get there early, because I was so busy running around last year that by the time I got to go scope the vendor tables, there were scraps left. They sold out of almost everything.
Yeah, I believe
that's
that.
All I had to say.
Yeah, there was some vendors. There was a couple that I saw tearing down at like 12:30. And I go to the one guy, I said, John, where are you going? He goes, oh, here's my donation for you. And he gave us this real awesome handmade kind of like about 2-foot-tall Sasquatch that he makes. And I go, why are you leaving? He goes, I brought 20 and they're all gone. They sold instantly. And he goes, well, I don't have anything to sell, so I don't need to really hang around at the table, so I'm going to go mingle. And I'm like, oh, cool, whatever. But, yeah, there were some vendors that were just unbelievable what they were moving. And you know what? And like I say, the good thing is there's people there that are interested. And you know the good thing with most of the vending stuff, not much. There's not a lot of real expensive stuff. So for the average Joe to walk in and spend $30-$40, you're going to get a whole bunch of stuff out of it. So, and there's great everything, great T-shirt designs, books, casts, you know, every kind of art you could imagine. And it's only going to be bigger this year.
Well,
so
yeah,
Charlie,
but
have you ever written a book? I'm sorry. I was going to ask you if you've written a book yet or if you have anything.
No, but, it's funny you say that. I'm going to try to start one this summer because I've got just so many anecdotal accounts from witnesses and my own research and my own theories about Bigfoot behavior and so forth. I've got so much I've typed on Facebook, you know, I can go through and all the different posts posted on Facebook make a book, you know. So, yeah, I want to write one because it's funny, anybody could write a book, you know, and have it published online. And I think it's kind of funny because as soon as you publish a book, you're like, oh, automatically you're somebody.
Right.
All right. I guess it's going to be good, but, you know, it can't be crap.
I couldn't agree with you more on that.
Real quick, Charlie, Henry has a question for you.
Okay, hey, Charlie.
Hey, man.
Hey, I had a question for you about that thermal footage that you got last year, that you showed last year of the belly-crawling Sasquatch.
Right.
Have you had that analyzed, professionally analyzed?
No, the gentleman who recorded it, who was with us, he went back to the location and reenacted the whole thing with the subject matter, with the subject crawling and the distance and everything. I really want the guy to publish it, but like a lot
Five.
Of people want...
At the tone, please record your voice message. When you are finished...
You still there?
Yes.
Yes.
Hello,
oh,
that?
Sorry, I don't know what that was. but no, the footage is amazing, and I want the guy to, publish it or share it online, but like a lot of people won't share their evidence online because people just rip it apart.
Yeah.
You know, like the Patterson footage. You know, that's the best footage ever of the course of a Sasquatch, but people still rip it apart.
Yeah. Well,
and it's
of course.
A shame because there's a lot of evidence out there people won't share because of that.
Right, yeah.
But, yeah, I agree. I agree with what you're saying, Trent. People just rip it off, but not to cut anyone short here, we have to continue our on-time assignments here. So, Charlie, we appreciate you calling in. Henry, thanks for asking a great question. And Sharon, take back the helm.
I'm taking it back. All right. Well, there he is. Okay. There's Mr. Mike Hall.
Hey, how y'all?
Hello, Mike. Oh, good. You're
there. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Ooh, we're good.
Good.
Mike, I have to tell you that I had to do some research on you before, and I went to MikeHall.artist.com, and I saw that glamour shot you had. Woohoo!
Oh, thank you.
Come on. Gabriel told me to rib you about it.
Glamour shot, they're still in business?
No. It's not the same kind of glamour shot. Let's clarify here.
tell everybody what the website is. It's MikeHallArtist.com.
It's MikeHallActor.com.
Actor, okay.
Yeah, that's my professional. It's being rebuilt. I'm doing a complete overhaul of it. It's been a couple of years, and so if they go there, it's still in transition into new from old. So
now, did I meet you in Texas?
Yeah, one time. It's been several years. But you did meet me, yeah.
Yeah, I'm looking right here at your biography. Oh my gosh. Film, television,
yeah.
Stage,
yeah.
Commercials,
yeah.
Training, special skills. You're just all over the place. Do you have a real job or do you just do this for fun?
No, this is my job.
Your real job.
This is my job.
Right.
Hey, no,
wow.
Sounds,
so you make a living.
Sounds like some of my family members.
you're getting thrilled.
You have a job.
Yeah. When are you getting a real job? Like,
so your acting pays your bills.
All
of your acting pays the bills.
My wife works a good job, and I say her salary does a lot of it. My acting
uh-huh.
supplements a lot of things because in this business you are either feast or famine, and
right,
if there's no work, whether that be commercial, industrial commercials, or film or television work, then you're just fighting against windmills. You know, I mean, you're sitting there on, you know, fiddling your thumbs. I try to stay busy.
But yeah, I have to ask though. You were already interested in Bigfoot, so you're an actor that's interested in Bigfoot.
Yeah. Yeah, well, see, here's the thing. I started out in the Bigfoot thing, and my interest,
mm-hmm.
I think like a lot of other researchers out there, I got the hell scared out of me when I was about 10 with some buddies of mine that came over for a sleepover at my grandparents' house, and we lived out in the country. And back then, we didn't have cable. You didn't have satellite. We had an antenna, and on a clear night you could get both all the stations out of Dallas and Tyler, the late night movie on Channel 11 out of Dallas was we had never heard of it before, and I was looking through the TV guide and it said Legend of Boggy Creek, and it had a little brief description, and I thought, oh, that would be cool. And we begged we begged my grandparents to let us stay up, and we lived in a farm, and the living room area was actually the large living area was in the back of the house. This was an old frame house. This house was the actual house my grandfather was born in. If that gives you any idea of the age of the house.
Wow.
And they had these huge, the whole back room had these huge windows all the way around. And there was a side door that went out of the living room onto a little porch, and everything. So I said, sure, you can stay up. Don't make a mess. And the next morning, we got woke up by my grandparents just rolling with laughter. Every light in the living room was all the curtains were pulled, chair under the door. And we were all huddled together in the middle of the room, scared us. We couldn't look away. And from that point on, I was pretty much addicted to finding out everything else that I could about Bigfoot. Well, I lived in a very small community, and there was no public library. But fortunately for me, the library at the school actually had two books: The Apes Among Us by John Green, and A Sasquatch all over something like that. I can't remember who wrote it. And I checked those books out multiple times and read them cover to cover. And as I got older into high school, sports kind of took over, girls, those kind of things. And Bigfoot kind of found its way to the back of my mind. And it wasn't until after I had come out of the military and had come home and was in college, and somebody said this great thing that had just come that the college had was called internet in the library. So I went and I just on a lark, I thought, I wonder if they have any books on Bigfoot. So I'm looking, and the librarian, I said, she goes, you might want to check on the internet. And I was like, I don't know how. So I did, but I found all of these. All of a sudden, I start finding all these. Then, like a year later, I bought my first computer, and it was just kind of a thing. I started researching online, and decided to get involved with a group. And I just kind of started figuring out, and I was watching all these documentaries about these brave souls that went out and went in the woods looking for Bigfoot. And I thought, wow, how cool would that be, you know? And I decided to get in the game or get off the sidelines, and I jumped in. And but the acting thing, all of that kind of took place. I started doing both about the same time, actively researching and acting. And I've kind of grown, you know, it's kind of grown together. And now I'm doing movies about Bigfoot. So
yes,
I'm it's kind of like
so
getting to eat
be...
your having your cake and eating it
right.
Too.
There you
so
go.
Speaking
and
of
you're going to be presenting at this
movie.
Year's Ohio Bigfoot
yeah.
Conference. Yeah. I was just going to say
yeah.
that, Mark.
Yeah.
Great minds.
Yeah.
So,
go ahead, Mark.
So your Friday night, you're going to be Somewhere in the Woods is going to premiere at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference. How long is the film going to be, out of curiosity?
It is running time right now, approximately an hour and 35 minutes.
So it's not bad at all. So if we start right at 9:30, it'll be 11 o'clock, and that'll still give people plenty of time to get out in the woods at night or go over to the bar or whatever they want to do and go have a good time, because so that should definitely be a nice thing. Well, I mean, we're all looking forward to it. The preview looks great. Everything about it looks to be great. And so it's going to be an exciting time, I'm sure, for everyone in attendance and also for you guys to be able to show it to the hardcore folk of the Bigfoot community, let's say, and,
Well, that was the idea. It was my idea because, I want to give the listeners just a quick background on how this came to pass. David Ford, who wrote the script and co-directed the film, I had met him. We had starred together in another film called Devil's Deal, which was released last fall by Lionsgate. And one day when we were on set, and it just came out, I had said something about we were going on a research outing over in East Texas area, and I said something about it, and he was like, oh, man, Bigfoot, you know, and we started talking back and forth. So he knew from back when we first met in 2011 that I was into Bigfoot. So one night, about a year and a half ago, he calls me and he goes, hey, I got this idea. I'm going to run it past you. You tell me what you think. And he basically over the phone told me the whole story. And I said, man, that's awesome. He said, do you think people would want to watch it? I was like, well, yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's different. It's not the typical Bigfoot comes into the camp and kills all the teenagers and destroys the town or whatever. It's not this. He didn't take Bigfoot or Sasquatch and turn him into Freddy Krueger or Jason. You know what I'm saying? And he kept after me saying, look, you're a researcher. You've been doing this for a while. He said, I want it to feel real. I want it to feel from a researcher or from an eyewitness standpoint, when they see this film, they can relate to it because it's I've heard that, or I have seen that, or I have felt that, or I have found those things, and I said, okay, but when it comes to the filming, especially the scenes with the actual creature in the scenes, I want to be there to kind of, you know, guide you through what, you know. And he was like, oh, absolutely. So that's how I became a producer on the film, and as well as one of the actors in the film. And so,
wow, that sounds so fascinating.
Basically, the storyline is a culmination, a combination of actual stories, actual reports. If everybody is familiar with the Kalman Coppola speech, and the Ruby Creek incident, and a few other lesser-known ones, we took all the elements from those different ones, and we wove them into a fictional story about this family, and created this incredible story. And,
well, we look. I was going to say, yeah, we definitely look forward to. To seeing this and being able talk with all of you. And now, who of your crew is going to actually be there in attendance?
Okay, well, myself, of course. David Ford is going to be there. Tony Gibson.
Okay.
He plays Carl, and he was he co-directed. Travis Driver, who was actually he was our creature creator, and he just came up after it was really strange because nobody, this audience in Ohio will be the first ones to see the creature. Nobody has seen what this looks like, and I promise
really?
You you're going to be blown away. We've purposely held back photographs that were taken of the suit and everything. We don't want to give anything away. So the audience that's going to be in Ohio will get to see this full-blown on screen.
Nice.
And the thing of it was, it was really scary because David called me all excited and said, hey, we got a guy that's going to create the creature for us. And I was like, oh, wow, is he like in Los Angeles or – is he, you know, and he was like, no, he's here in Texas. I was like, oh, so he's like, but he's a special effects guy. And he goes, oh, no. He owns a coffee shop. But, and I went, oh, no. My heart
was
sad, you know. And
not to cut you short, Mike, we got someone on hold from Canada that we need to get on to fit our time slot. So
well,
we look forward to seeing everything and talking to you guys in depth Friday night at 9:30 at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference.
Absolutely, Mark. Just remind everybody to go to the Facebook page and like us and make sure and come by our table. We'll have posters and T-shirts for sale, and all that money goes into helping us finish the few things that we do have to finish on the film. And I hope everybody understands that what you're going to see there is not 100% where we want it as filmmakers, but it's close enough that I think we'll really look forward to it, and I appreciate you guys having me on, and we look forward to being in Ohio.
Okay, Mike, well, you have a great
All
night,
right.
And we will see you in about, what, 8-9 days?
We'll be there with bells on.
Take care.
Thanks, Sharon.
Bye-bye.
All right, Mike. Thank you for calling.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Mm-hmm. All right. Oh, my goodness. Oh, shoot.
Exciting.
Yes. And now we have the most wonderful one. I can't even remember all his names. John Kirk on the line from British Columbia. I couldn't remember all the names. Juan Carlos Gonzalez or something like that.
He's the most interesting man in Bigfoot.
Dos Equis guy of Bigfoot.
There you go. How are you, John?
I'm absolutely fabulous, Mark and Sharon. And how are both of you?
Doing well, doing well. Looking forward to having you out here in back. It's just going to be in a week's time or so. And just anticipating to hear what you have to say in your presentation and, you know, and obviously just rekindling everything from last year and all the other good times we've had in the past. And so I've just, like I said, I'm just so glad that you were up to coming out and speaking for us, because, I mean, you know, I know you have a busy schedule, so we appreciate it. And, you know, we're looking forward to everything. So what's on your mind?
Well, I'm absolutely thrilled, first and foremost, to be hanging around with all my wonderful friends out there, including you two lovely people, and having an opportunity to bring the more level-headed, sane perspective of Sasquatch to the audience there. There are lots of truly wonderful investigators, people who take this extremely seriously, have some brilliant methodologies, some of which I had never heard before, but, you know, being a willing learner, I'm always willing to learn from other people in much the same way people learn from me. So this is going to be perhaps, I would say, would be a pivotal conference in terms of Sasquatch history, because I've seen nothing but excitement. I've seen the build-up reach a crescendo. This is going to be an absolutely awesome time for everybody. And the wonderful thing is that setting. You've chosen well, Mark, in regard to Salt Fork Lodge and the park around it. It's a brilliant Bigfoot venue. And I think that this is something that anybody who's never been to needs to go to at least once. It's like making a pilgrimage to the Vatican City, you know, if you're Catholic, that kind of thing. It's the epicenter of the Bigfoot conference scene, without a shadow of a doubt. I've had some wonderful times in Texas, and I've had wonderful times in Ohio. And really, it'll be thrilling to hear what Lauren has to say, Jim, David, Bob Gimlin, the music of Tom Yamarone, the camaraderie among the people, and to discuss Sasquatch in a sane setting and in a sane manner. We're not going to be talking about cloaking and woo-woo stuff. It's going to be rational, and I really like that. It's missing from the Bigfoot world today in many ways. So let's bring the rationalism back in, and that's exciting in and of itself, because you know what? Truth is always good.
You're exactly right. You're exactly right. And, you know, that's one thing that we've always said when we started organizing this event in 2012 is, you know, the most critical things were level-headed, flesh and blood, you know, serious investigators, but also people that have fun with it, that involve, you know, not just themselves, but even their families involved. And one thing that I like is to have the younger generation coming and even the kids coming, and this way they can see what everyone's talking about, and this way they can make, you know, they can make the choice on their own to believe or not believe. But, you know, if you guys like you can do fantastic presentations and get some of the youth of today to get out in the woods, it's just going to help secure and seal the next generation of Bigfoot investigators for many years to come.
Absolutely right, and I completely agree with you that in you know, although there are people in this field who are believers, there are also some of us who who call ourselves concluders, because we concluded Sasquatch exists on the basis of the evidence at hand, right? And, you know, filling your kid with ideas about Sasquatch is a wonderful thing, because it is a wondrous subject. There's no question about that. But nobody's as far as I know, in the circle of people that I work with, is out there to convince anybody else. The evidence speaks for itself. You just simply have to lay it out in an unbiased fashion and let people decide for themselves. If they choose not to, that's all well and good. We're not a bunch of TV evangelists here, you know, trying to convert people at all. We're here to present something, to ponder something of wonderment, excitement, you know, educational, informational, entertaining. It's all there. That's what the Bigfoot world really is.
And it should be. I mean, now that it's become such a mainstream subject, you know, all across America and probably all across the world, I would guess. I mean, it's such a different you just take such a different mental approach now when you're doing events. I mean, you remember coming to Ohio way back, you know, long ago, and how even when the media would come, they were very questionable about everything and anything. I mean, we're now, it seems like more people are laid back and willing to listen, at least.
Well, I think what that has come about largely because of the caliber of people that you've brought in. I've seen stuff in the Plain Dealer in Cleveland and various other newspapers about the conference and the speakers. And when it's presented, the topic that is presented in a cogent, intelligent, and wise manner, the media has no option but to listen. You know, if you keep the kookiness, the glyphs, you know, Sasquatch habituation and all that kind of stuff out of it, and you present to them a scientific case, man, people are going to turn around to you and say, okay, these guys are making sense at last. Well, let's listen to them. The good thing about the Ohio conference and a few other ones is that it has been consistently good in bringing a rational sort of outlook to things and an exciting one. I don't think you've ever had a kook at your conference, which is a really wonderful thing. And you need to keep it unkooky. I mean, Sharon's a kook and I'm a kook, but we're benign kooks that don't bring it to the Sasquatch world. We keep that in our private lives.
That's right.
Well, I mean, you know, it is what it is, John. I mean, and you say it so well, you know, it's just, like I say, the thing that makes me just kind of happy is just to see all the people, you know, at least working together, at least trying to get along, and, you know, and I'm hoping that, you know, what we have in Ohio now will last for a long, long time, and that's people that, you know, agree to work together, people that agree to do things together, to help each other, and I think it's important because, you know, I have no problem with anyone, any other group, any other whatever, and, you know, I wish them nothing but the luck in whatever they do, the best of luck in whatever they do, but I mean, it's just important to me that you know, that we all have a good time doing this, and I know it's serious, but you have to have fun if you're going to have things work.
Well, there's no way it won't be fun because Sharon's going to be there, and she's like your party hostess there. She makes sure that everybody is extremely happy, well-loved, taken care of, and paid attention to. So, you know, you have the ultimate hostess there, so I send my kudos and accolades that way.
Thank you.
It's just the truth, dear, just the truth.
I know. I love you too, John. Well,
thank you, darling.
Especially, well, we have Tom is also on the line, and you guys put together a conference yourself, so you know how hard it is.
Mm-hmm.
Right, Tom?
Hello?
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 Oh, hi. Yeah, hi, Sharon. Hi, Mark, and hello, John.
Hello, Tom.
Hello.
Yes. We indeed know what it takes to put on a conference, and this is a whole level or two above what we have done, and I would echo everything that John has said. I've been listening for the duration of the show, and yes, it's just one of the great events to go to, the top event to go to, and for all the reasons John, you know, laid out there.
Well, don't sell yourself short, Tom. The job that you and John did in Yakima was incredible, considering you did it from, you know, 3,000 miles away or 500 miles, whatever, some, you know, absurd far distance. And
yeah,
what you guys put together and pulled off there was absolutely incredible. And I mean, I was so proud to just be part of it and to be there and to be able to help any way I can. And
yes.
Like I said, I love the vacation, but yeah, anytime I go to any of these kinds of events, all of a sudden my wanting to do something to help, to auction, to do this, to do that, I mean, it just kicks in, it's just automatic, but you guys just did fantastic. It was a fantastic time in Yakima.
Well, thank you, and then Yeah, I should let John speak to that as well. That in my interest over the last 10 years, I've really grown to appreciate the history of the research and what I would term the pioneers of the research, and that was a great opportunity to pay tribute to them.
Yeah, I think one of the wonderful things was, as Mark was saying, that when people come together, put aside differences, focus on the things in which we have unity, you can make an event a terrific thing. I mean, Yakima was a fabulous event because so many people made an effort. Loads of people donated stuff, art, Sasquatch memorabilia, and all that kind of stuff for the auction. Mark auctioned it on our behalf. The local Yakima Valley Museum hosted the event. There were the guys from Squatchachusetts, John, Dave, and the inimitable Dax Rushlow, who came out and supported us. The local effort was tremendous. The music of Lenny Green, Paul Graves singing, you know. Everybody and our speakers, Jeff and Bill and John Bindenagel, wonderful people. Everybody worked collaboratively, and that thing was seamless. Well, I saw the same thing in the Ohio conference last year. It had been something like 11 years since I had been there. And when you get this kind of vibe going, it's infectious. All it can do is to create good things. And I'm very positive about this year's one because the lineup is just extraordinary.
Yeah, I agree. Go ahead, Sharon.
I was going to say, we have someone in the chat room wants to know, are you going to have another Yakima event?
Oh, nothing planned at this time. So never say never, but there will be another tribute event in the next 2 years. And I don't know if it'll be in Yakima or on another location.
Well, count me in.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, certainly. And you know, but John and Mark, what you were about to say at Ohio last year, and I will say, just for the record, it's an honor and a privilege to be Bob Gimlin's travel partner and to be able to come, and I thank you for that, and to bring what I can to, you know, discussing, collaborating with other researchers, and then, of course, the Bigfoot music is a nice thing to have as well. But being there with Bob, I get to witness the appreciation, and really I think what people appreciate is him, the man, not so much the person, the partner that was there that day with Roger. It's a little of both, but when people meet Bob, he seems to just have an infectious spell on the event as a whole, and it's great to watch.
Yeah. So do you guys want to take a call from Henry?
Sure, why not?
Sure, why not?
Of course.
All right, Henry.
Hey, you.
Give him the green light.
Hey, Henry.
Hey, John.
Hello, Henry.
Looking forward to seeing you guys in a week.
Likewise, pal. It'll be a pleasure indeed.
John, I have a question for you. I've been following a thread on the Sasquatch BC forum about Survivor Man Bigfoot and his hooking up with a certain individual. What is your opinion on that? And being a veteran of several television programs and television productions, do you think that Les has final say on who he has on his show, or do you think that's up to the network?
Well, I can't speak to that because I honestly don't know who has the final say in the program. Suffice it to say, you know, I respect Les immensely. He's a fellow Canadian from Quebec, and he's had an absolutely extraordinary run with Survivor Man, and I'm respectful of him. But I don't agree with his choice of guest. Now, certainly, it could have been more objective, the investigation of pictures, footage, and all that kind of jazz. I felt it was glossed over. Some of the conclusions that they reached, I certainly would not agree upon. For instance, that some of the normal wind-blown and natural tree fells could not have been accomplished by nature. Yes, they could have. There's definitely that option there. But everybody's entitled to their opinion. The only thing that matters at the end of the day is, can you prove it's true? So, you know, until that is proven to be the case or not the case, it's speculative. I don't waste my time on stuff like that, Henry. I would rather go with real evidence. If we find Sasquatch tissue, bone, blood, fur, feces, you know, that kind of stuff, we're looking at that. I mean, I don't even focus on tracks anymore unless there's some kind of extraordinary foot dynamic in them, you know, and people say, oh, you'd pass on them. I said, no, I didn't say I'd pass on them. I'm just saying that they're not as interesting as the real Holy Grail, which is the physical evidence. So, you know, when some guy gets as close to Sasquatches as he does and they're brushing against a log and he doesn't have any hair from it, you know, vis-a-vis the gentleman that was in the Les Stroud program, the claims don't stand up to much scrutiny. So suffice it to say, from my point of view, I would never have had that bloke on my show, that's for sure.
I understand. Mark, I have a question for you.
Yeah.
When are the T-shirts going to be made? I mean, I know that Mike is still working on getting the T-shirts, the folks who order them to be sent to their mailbox.
They are supposed to be mailed this week, end of the week here, probably, okay. I'm going to get tomorrow, and they should start arriving in mailboxes Saturday and Monday.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Mark. Thanks, Sharon.
You're welcome, Henry. Talk to you later.
See you all in a week.
All right.
See ya, honey.
Bye.
Take
Bye.
Care, bro.
Yep.
Interesting.
Yay.
Yeah, a lot of people have been asking about the T-shirts, and yes, they will be. They have been made. They are en route to Mike Assorti, and once he gets them and sorts them, then they get mailed out immediately. They'll go priority mail, and only takes a few days to get it, so you'll get it in plenty of time before the conference next Thursday, so or Friday, whatever. So don't be worried.
So John and Tom, are you guys coming in Thursday or Friday? Do you know?
I'm going to be there on Wednesday. I'm coming in a day, I think, earlier than Tom. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that's right. We'll be down at Salt Fork the late afternoon on Thursday. So we're coming a day earlier than we did last year, Bob and I.
Okay. But, John, you're coming in Wednesday.
That's correct. Yeah, I'm visiting with some friends out east, and we decided that we would probably get to the lodge probably on the Wednesday at some stage or the other.
Okay, cool. Well, you'll be there to greet me with open arms.
I will certainly, dear. You can fly into them at random. There you go.
You'll be there Thursday?
I'll be there Thursday, yeah.
Great.
Oh, cool. Very cool.
So, but
awesome.
Well, it's shaping up to be one heck of a time, and like I say, all those last second details. I mean, everything's just about where it needs to be. Just waiting on a few small things that are en route or in the mail, and once we get those, and you know, I'm planning to have a huge posse of people taking stuff down and. You know, we should be all ready to roll, so I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Mark, you've got plenty of
right,
forks
Mark,
in Ohio
hear...
that you can commission.
Yes, I do.
So, Mark,
I
heard you had some... Mark, you have some trivia questions. You want to give away some prizes? We're going to keep Tom and John on the line to have some fun with us.
Okay.
Let's do it.
Yeah, okay.
Great.
Question number one, and this is going to be Ohio Bigfoot history. Question number one.
Wait. Should I take calls, or should this just be the chat room, or what?
How many people are on the chat room?
500,000?
A million?
Eight that are logged in. There's probably like 70 listening.
Okay, we'll
and then 360 will download it.
Have them call.
All right, well,
in.
Let me go look at the phone lines. All right, I'm looking at the phone lines now. If you have the answer, you have to call in. And
what?
Henry, you don't count.
Yeah, no, Henry. What number do they call in, Sharon?
The call-in number is 215-383-3815. 215-383-3815.
Okay, can I start with the question?
Yes, you may.
Okay, well, here's the question. Who is a well-known Ohio Bigfoot investigator who played in a rock band, and he changed his name to protect his identity when he was in Bigfoot? He is from Twinsburg, Ohio.
Oh man. I know who the guy's girlfriend is, but I can't remember his name. Dang, what's going on?
Well, you guys aren't there to answer. I guess the only hint I could say is that X marks the spot.
Let's see. Oh, wait, I don't have any callers, so let me see. Henry's on the line.
No,
Henry. Henry, do you know the answer?
No, Henry.
All right, Henry. Sorry. I'm going to try this guy. 601. Oh, do you know the answer? That's a no. Okay.
Well, you got me on there? Hello?
Hello? Yeah.
Yeah. This is not Henry. This is Brian Impey.
Okay. Brian, do you know the answer to the question?
Well, actually, I've been home for like an hour, so no, I don't know the answer. I was just going to comment real quick and get off, I guess, but sorry about that. I was just going to say hey to everybody and John Kirk. I mean, oh my gosh, down at Texas Bigfoot Conference, he made a comment. He was going to knock my socks off. And, you know, Ohio Bigfoot Conference, wait till you hear John Kirk. He's no joke. So all compliments to John. So
you're too kind, mate. Too kind.
Well, you know, it was a good time down there, and I just appreciate being able to meet y'all. And so, really, one of these days I'll get up there and see y'all. So sorry, I don't know the answer.
Thanks for calling, Brian.
Yeah, good to hear from you,
thanks,
Brian.
Thanks, Mark and Sharon, everybody. All righty, bye bye.
All right,
see ya.
Bye.
So no callers, Sharon?
Gosh, no, and nobody in the chat room has even said the answer. This is crazy. How could
you have
such a hard question?
Okay, here's another question then. Come on,
can I
people.
Give you the answer? Because nobody got it. Can
Wait
I have
a, second.
A try?
Wait
yes.
a second.
Wait.
We have a caller.
Okay.
Hi.
Hey,
541 area
code. Is it Dax
Rushlow?
Is it Dax Rushlow?
No.
Dax is from Massachusetts, not Ohio.
Oh, okay. Next question. Bye.
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 Okay, here's the next question. If you guys don't
Hey,
get
can
there,
I try the answer on that one?
Yes. Go ahead, John.
Was it Chris Kraska?
Incorrect.
Oh.
Incorrect. Chris Kraska was never in a rock band.
But he's from Twinsburg.
Yeah,
is it Alan
McGargle? Twinsburg? No.
Well, give us the answer.
He works in Twinsburg.
The answer is Mark Francis of
Twinsburg.
Oh.
Otherwise known as Fred Twigger was his real name. And Mark was in
Fred Twigger.
And he investigated Ohio reports in the 80s. He wrote a newsletter called NABIN, North American Bigfoot Information Network. And he worked with Don Keating, worked with Matt Moneymaker, just to name a few. And, you know, he's someone that I wish he was the kind of guy that if you got into went into a bar with him, I mean, he would sit there and talk for like 10 days straight about all his experiences, but he was really interesting, pretty nice guy. I mean, I've never had any issues with him, but Mark Francis was very well known down in the Wills Creek area of Southern Coshocton, Northern Muskingum County, and him and Don did stuff together for some years, and then they got in their old spiff and whatever, but it's Mark Francis. Well, here's the next question, and you guys better get this one. Okay. name the person that filmed a Bigfoot in Ohio on, August 2nd, 1992.
We know that one, right, John?
Oh, I know who that is, yes, but we're not allowed to answer.
No, it's good. We'll get a caller here.
215-383-3815. Who is the person who filmed a Bigfoot in 1992 in Ohio? We're not getting any callers. Henry's saying, I know. Let's take Henry because he knows.
Henry's not allowed anything. The only thing Henry's allowed is a bucket of straw for his horse.
All right, I have a caller here. 614 area code. What is your answer?
I have to go with the obvious and say Don Keating.
Correct. August 2nd.
Ding, 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 ding. We have a winner.
County Road 6. Well, in Coshocton County and Virginia Township Road 70, he accidentally filmed
the white Sasquatch Bigfoot draft man.
Who's our caller?
Yeah. Okay.
Who's the caller?
Who is this?
My name's Kevin. Karen knows
Kevin
me, Mark.
Well, you're going to have to give me your information, so I want you to email me your name.
Sure.
And address to
sure.
You could email
I'll
me at Sharon Lee at. Oh, you want to just pick up your prize at the conference?
Yeah, I'll be at the conference. I'll be there.
Okay.
Friday.
And your name is Devin?
Kevin.
Yeah, I was going to be
right,
one of your golfing buddies last year, and I couldn't make it.
Oh, Kevin. Yeah, and I don't think we're going to make it this year because of the injury to my arm and the I might be okay in a week. I don't know. I'm at 75% right now, but we'll see. Are you going to bring your golf gear and everything?
I'm not. No.
Is no golf outing. Okay, so Kevin Bird is our winner, and I will make sure you get your prize when I see you at the conference.
No problem. I will hook up with you then. Looking forward to seeing everybody next week.
Okay, Kevin. Well,
awesome.
You want a book, and you'll receive it at the conference. Congratulations.
Sounds fantastic. Thanks for having the show tonight, guys.
All right.
Okay.
Thank you, Kevin.
Bye-bye. Let's do another trivia question.
Sure, did you know that answer?
Yes, I know that answer.
Yes.
Of course I know that answer. Okay.
No.
What? Are you ready?
Yes.
Okay. Ohio trivia. What?
Ohio trivia.
What is considered the most famous flap of alleged or possible Bigfoot sightings in Ohio history? And it's so obvious, but...
Oh, yeah.
It's right there for the taking.
Come on, people. This one's easy.
What was the question?
The biggest single flap of Ohio Bigfoot sightings in history. I mean, it's right there. I can see it. I'm holding it.
All right, 215-383-3815, if you know the answer.
The biggest flap of sightings?
Yeah, come on, Tommy. This one has been barking out at everybody.
What is a flap, Mark?
A flap means a series of continuous reports in a specific general area for a good length of time where there was plenty of documentation, and in most cases, law enforcement involved.
Oh,
yep.
I know. Oh. Okay, I got it.
So someone needs to call in, 215-383-3815. I'm waiting for the first caller. You're going to win a fabulous prize from Mark DeWorth and the Ohio Bigfoot Conference.
And I say a book, so I'll win books, but I'm sure I will throw more things in and make it well worth it, their time, because once I start mailing stuff out, I just keep adding to it.
Mark?
Mm-mm.
Mark,
yeah.
Is the answer the cow man?
Mm-mm.
No, that's in Washington.
No. Sorry, Patrick, it's not Cowman. Wow, is this a hard question?
No.
No.
It's right there. It's screaming at you.
Think township.
Cambridge,
yeah,
putting Cambridge would know this.
Think of a Latin name. Good grief.
I don't know. All right, here we go. 541 again. All right, what is your answer?
My
this
answer.
Time?
I'm going to try again. How about Minerva Monster?
Yes.
Yay!
Yes. Oh.
And
who
right
is
there
this?
For the
who is this?
This
is
Minerva. And what is
Purple
your name?
Rose.
Okay, well, I don't think your address is.
No.
The post office is going to recognize Purple.
No, this is Pam on the chat, Purple Rose.
Pam.
Yeah, I'm in Oregon.
Wow.
Oh, wow. But
yeah.
You're not coming to the conference?
No, I can't do it.
All
right, Pam, so I want you to...
I will... Can I say
do you want me to email you?
Yeah, you're going to email me at SharonLee@thebigfootfieldreporter.com.
Okay, thank you.
Hey, Pam.
Thank you. I think Mark wanted to ask you.
Pam,
yeah.
I want to talk to you.
Yeah.
How is a duck so well-versed in Ohio Bigfoot history?
I don't know.
I mean,
I'm just kind of a Bigfoot trivia person, I guess.
Well, that's good. I
maybe she's a beaver.
I'm a duck, for sure. You're going to get a book.
Yeah.
And what I'm also going to do, because you're from Oregon, I'm going to send you all the little goodies that are going to the VIPs of the Ohio Bigfoot Conference. So you'll get a whole little thing.
Wow.
So this way you can say, hey, I couldn't go there, but I could live it. So,
that's awesome. That's great. Thank you.
You're welcome. We appreciate
all right,
the call.
Congrats, Pam.
You have a great night.
Okay. Thanks, guys. Bye.
Bye-bye.
All right.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. See, this is the kind of fun we have. We're just fun people.
Now, Tom, did you know that answer, Tom?
Yes.
Yeah, I figured. I mean, it's so obvious that all we've been talking about the last few months is the premiere of the Minerva Monster.
Right.
You know, about Ohio's biggest history of Bigfoot flaps. I mean, that and maybe the Rome, Ohio incident would probably be two of the biggest cases that I could think of. I mean, one case that I think needs to be looked into and real thoroughly is that County Road 6 in Coshocton County. I mean, there were so many reports down there from 92, all the way up to 2000. There was probably 50 reports there consistently, but it's just getting all those stories documented to the T to see how it meshes together. But that was definitely an interesting area. So do you guys want to do one more trivia?
Sure.
We got 1 minute.
Okay, well, here's the trivia question. Who was the first speaker at the Ohio Bigfoot Conference 2012? The first speaker to speak.
Wow. Gosh. 215-383-3815. Who was the first speaker at the 2012 Ohio Bigfoot Conference?
And that was held at the David Barber Civic Center in Cambridge, Ohio. For those that need a refreshing, the speakers were Bill Drangenis, Peter Byrne, Mike Assorti, Dr. John Bindernagel, and Don Keating.
Uh-oh. Don't worry, guys. We can archive after the show ends, so we're still going to be here. Nobody in the chat room knows. I'm sure someone
first
can Google
speaker.
It really quick.
Well, you know what? If I was in, take a leap of faith and guess.
Right.
Take a leap of faith and guess. Call in 215-383-3815. Was it William Dranginis, John Byrne? Who else?
John Byrne. Who's John Byrne?
I don't know. I just made that name up real quick.
Do I know him?
I got you.
Peter. John Bindernagel.
It wasn't John.
Yeah. I'd say, who would you start with? Mike?
Yes, it was. It was Mike Assorti.
Well,
oh,
said.
Okay. Adrian.
Did
Adrian.
I give it away?
All right. So, no. We're all good. So that's all the time we have for today, and I look forward to seeing Tom and John, well, and Mark, too, next week in the next 8-9 days, and we'll be all together in Ohio and having a great time playing Balls of Fury and having Kool-Aid.
Yes, looking forward to it.
You
bet. And having wonderful conversations about our beloved Bigfoot Sasquatch-type creatures and having Esteban there in person and having Bigfoot Dave up from Florida and most importantly, everyone have a very safe trip into Ohio when you do come in and, bring your, not your A game, just, come in with a positive attitude and let's just have a great time.
Of course.
I appreciate it. We all appreciate everyone and we look forward to seeing you.
Well said.
All right.
Indeed, my friends.
I'm going to end this and Bob by Tom Yammerone. All right. So bye, John. Bye, Tom. Bye, Mark.
Goodbye.
See you guys later. Take care.
Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye.
Take care.
Goodbye.
We'll
bye-bye.
Yeah. Bye.
Whoop. Thanks for listening.
Roger and Bob rode out that day until that log jam got in their way. Well, they got lucky on the creek that day. Oh, they got lucky when she walked away. Yeah. Roger and Bob rode out that day. Roger and Bob were gone a week, right in the forest around Love Creek. They shot some film of a Bigfoot there. She walked on two legs and was covered in hair. Roger and Bob had quite a week. Yeah! Came down to see just what those guys saw on Bluff Creek. Would they make maps of the site complete? Made Jim McLaren walk in Patty's feet. John and Renee came down to see Bob Titmus. He came out to cast those tracks left by Patty first to last. They showed movement of a flexible foot. Now they weren't perfect, but were worth a look, yeah. Bob Titmus came out the cast. Hey! Film Rush and Buggy Cave. He showed it there to see what they had to say. The Londoners looked down their nose. The Russian scientists looked very close, yeah. Renee took the film to Rush and Buggy Cave. That film got shown on the TV. Got written up in magazines like Argosy. that day, and their lives changed in every way. So did ours, because we got to see a living Bigfoot walking tall and free. Yeah, Roger and Bob went down in history. Hey!
You killed it, Yams. You killed it.
Wow, that's one of my favorite songs. I love it.
Oh, Bob, I didn't know you were on the line. Hey, Bob, we have a new caller. It's Bob Gimlin.
Well, I came down to visit Tom, and I thought I'd just take the phone here from him. I need to
How's it going,
Bob? Well, it goes well.
Oh, but
when I speak with him, it goes better. But I'll shut up there.
Really,
yeah,
Bob, shut up.
Traveling with Bob is going to be such a joy. We have a long journey. We'll be on the road next Wednesday. So really looking forward to it. Hey, great show tonight.
Yeah,
hope
on
everyone
the road.
Enjoys the archive. It was a great review of, and I loved it. Loved hearing Lyle and Charlie and Michael. Yeah, excellent.
It was good. It was good to get a little bit from everybody, and everybody was awesome. I wanted to talk more to John, but he was eloquent, as always. He was awesome.
Well, yeah. John just
I
has
love
a way of
words.
Putting it into a fine, you know, always positive and complimentary, and yet, you know, right, exactly what he says. You know, this won't be a far-out discussion of it. It'll be evidence-based and a great camaraderie of people, which I'm really looking forward to seeing you and everyone there. That's another great opportunity to get there and see everybody.
I know. It's like you make these friends, and then you only get to see them like once or twice a year. And it's like when we get together, we have so much fun.
You know, and that's how it is in general. I live, you know, I don't see Bobo or Cliff, and they're people I talk to probably weekly, but I don't see him in person, but maybe twice a year, three times a year, and Bob Strain, same way, you know. So
yeah,
you know, it's funny though, people who've seen conferences we've had out here, and they've just attended and thought, oh, we all get together all the time, but it's really how Ohio is too. You look forward to it, and it is like we're together all the time because we're connected on the internet, but. And by phone.
Right.
So.
Yeah. All right, dear. Well, you have a lovely evening.
Okay, you as well. And I'll be in touch or see you in a week. And you have my phone
all
number,
right.
So check in anytime you want.
Yes, sir.
Okay, see you later.
All right.
Bye.
All right, love you. Bye-bye.
Love you too. Bye.